being answered. We're going to begin, though, with the first two questions of a very little quiz. And it is a very mini quiz today because I've only got four questions, okay? Here is the first question. What do these people on the screen all have in common? Now, you're looking at it and you might think, well, this might be a trick question. But there you are. What do these three people all have in common? Any answers? Yes. Sorry? That's right, they're all winners. It wasn't a trick question after all. They have all won a gold medal at the Olympics. That is fantastic. So there we are. We're doing very well with our little quiz. So here is the second question. What do these film characters all have in common? These film characters. There's Bambi there. There's Carl Fredrickson. And there is Simba. What do these three characters all have in common? Someone's waving down here. Yeah, what do they have in common? They're absolutely right. They all had someone who died in their lives. They all did, didn't they? In the films that those little characters were in. They all felt very sad. The word we use is bereaved. They were bereaved. This week, we witnessed a whole nation, the whole country of France, grieving, being bereaved over the loss of a beautiful building that has meant so much to that country and so much, actually, to their identity. The whole of a nation was very sad indeed. As some of us in the room will have had the great sadness when a pet that we had died. I remember being very, very sad indeed when this dog died. That was the dog that we had when I was a boy. That dog was called Lukey. And Lukey was run over by a car. And we all cried a lot. We were very, very sad when Lukey died. Since last Easter, some of us in our church family have had the deepest loss of all. Members of our own families have died. And at the end of the Bible talk today, we're going to listen and hear from one of those members of our family about what Easter means for them. So listen out for that and get ready for that moment when it comes. But the first thing I want to say about Easter today is this. The sadness of Jesus's death. The sadness of Jesus's death. And we've got a reading, and it's from Mark chapter 15, verse 42 and following. So if you want to turn to that in the Bibles, parents, you want to help the children around you, turn to Mark chapter 15, verses 42 to 47. And Miles, where's Miles? You're going to come and read for us, aren't you? Where is he gone? There he is, over there. I was expecting you to be near the front with your dad and mum supporting you, but they're staying miles away, as is your name, over there. So Miles is going to read for us. Thank you very much indeed.
And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid.
Miles, thank you. Big round of applause for Miles there. Fantastic. The sadness of Jesus' death. Some of Jesus' women friends in our reading there, they'd watched Jesus die on the cross, and all of Jesus' male friends, all the men, had run away. But some of the women stayed. Two of the women watched a man called Joseph of Arimathea. Got a picture of him there. Take Jesus' body off the cross, and he buried it in a tomb. Now listen to me. You might have heard some people say that Easter didn't really happen. Jesus didn't really rise from the dead because he didn't really die. He fainted or he swooned upon the cross, and when Joseph of Arimathea put him in a nice cool tomb, he was revived, and that's what happened on the day that we call Easter Day. In actual fact, he just got better from having been very, very poorly after the crucifixion. I was going to say, if you believe that, you're nuts, but some people do. But I want to just give the evidence that Mark's gospel gives. Look who at the time said that Jesus was really dead. There's Joseph of Arimathea. There's the picture of him from a film. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. That is, he was one of the most highly respected leaders in the whole of the nation. And he said Jesus was dead. And Joseph went to ask Pilate for permission to bury Jesus' body. Pilate was the Roman governor for the whole region. He wasn't a numpty. And he said Jesus was dead. And then there was the soldier. Picture of him there as well. He was in charge of the crucifixion. Actually, he was a centurion. That is, he was a very experienced army officer. He was actually a specialist in death. He knew how to kill people. And he said Jesus was dead. Jesus really was dead. His body was laid in a tomb by Joseph of Arimathea, and no doubt some friends helped him. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, got a picture of them as well. Very sad moment they witnessed it. So Easter is about the sadness of death. The Son of God came into the world and died for your sin and for my sin. And we today should be deeply thankful for him. Not only that, the Son of God experienced death. That means that when we pray to him, when we call out to him, when we are hurting, when we feel pain, when we know loss, when we are bereaved, that word again, when someone we love dies, when we talk to Jesus, we know that he understands. Here is a God who has entered into our world and experienced our experiences. And so we may never have all the answers to our questions about suffering, but we have something better. We have a Lord Jesus who can genuinely, really, properly comfort our hearts. I wonder, when you've been sad, do you take your heart to this Jesus? You ought to. Have you ever taken your heart to this Jesus to thank him for dying for you? To thank him for sharing in the experience of suffering so that you may speak to him and know that he comforts you? If you've never done that, maybe today would be a day for you to do it. We're going to sing a song. He died upon the cross for me, just for me. Well, not just for me, for you too, for us all. But the song emphasizes that personal ownership that this Jesus died for me. He really did die for you. Let's stand, and as our musicians lead us, let's sing together. Okay, let's go back to our mini quiz. We've had two questions. Here is the third question of our little mini quiz. What do these people have in common? What do they all have in common? Any answers? You can tell from my first questions that they're really not very difficult, the questions that I ask in my quiz. This is the kind of quiz that I would love to be happening at a pub if I went to a pub quiz. And what do these three people have in common? Yes. They're surprised. Yes. They are astonished. And that is the second thing that I want to say about Easter, the surprise of the resurrection. the surprise of the resurrection. Lucy is going to come and read our second reading for us. It's Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. And if you've got a grown-up next to you, get them to help you find Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8. And Lucy is going to read that for us. Thank you, Lucy.
When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome bought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid.
Lucy, the surprise of the resurrection. Jesus died, he was buried on a Friday, and then on the Sunday, three of his female friends, his women friends, went to the tomb to anoint his body. They went to anoint his dead body. And on the way, they were worried about who had moved the huge stone away from the tomb entrance, the huge stone that closed the entrance to the tomb. You see, the question is, what was obvious? It was obvious that they did not expect Jesus to have risen. They were going with some special spices to anoint his body. They expected to find his dead body. They were worried that the tombstone was still in its place. They were surprised by the resurrection. They were not expecting Jesus to be alive. When they arrived at the tomb, in the reading that Lucy just read for us, they found that the stone had already been rolled away. Got a photograph of that as well there on the screen. And when they went into the tomb, there it was probably an angel, someone dressed in white, was there and said these words to them. They're on the screen there, so you can look at them with me on the screen. This person said to them, "Do not be alarmed, do not be afraid." They were shocked, and if you had been with them, you too would have been shocked. You would have gone to the tomb expecting Jesus to still be dead. I mean, that's normal, isn't it? They were alarmed, and they were told not to be shocked. "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, that is the carpenter turned preacher, the member of Mary and Joseph's family." Yes, we're talking about the same person. Yeah, really, that same individual who was crucified. Yes, that one Jesus who really did die on the cross for our sin. Well, he's not here. "See the place where they laid him." Yes, you've got the right grave too. You're not rocked up in the wrong place. There's his grave clothes. But he himself is not here. There is no mistake at all. So what's happened to Jesus? You all know. I've only got easy questions today, by the way. There's the answer. He has risen. That's what the angel said. He's not here. The three most stunning words ever said, join in with me, are these three words. He has risen. Wow, he's risen. Dead people don't rise. Dead people don't rise, but Jesus did. What's going on? Well, let me explain it this way. Let me tell you something of what's going on. Two main things to say about Jesus' resurrection. The first thing is this. Imagine a man does something really badly wrong and a judge sends him to prison for 10 years. Got a picture of him there. 10 years in prison. Imagine that. Well, after being in prison for 10 years, what would happen to him? Well, he'd be allowed to go free, wouldn't he? So there he is. hands in the air, blue sky, a day like today, an Easter day kind of a day for this individual. He's able to walk free. Why? Because he served his sentence. His punishment has been paid. The Bible says that the sentence, the punishment we deserve for our sin is death. So, when Jesus walked free from death, it meant that the punishment of all who put their faith in him had been served. The payment had been paid. On the cross on Good Friday, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "It is finished!" That is, paid for. Sin paid for. It is finished. Easter Day, he walks free from the grave, and it's a bit like God the Father saying, "Amen! It is finished. Amen. Yes, it is finished." Jesus walks free from death. The sentence we deserve for our sin as we put our faith in him has been paid. Now, I've got written down in my notes here, that should make us want to dance for joy. As a church, we're not really that kind of a church. Are there other churches that are much better than us at dancing for joy? And I think as we sing our final two songs today, coming up, if you want to dance for joy, just go for it. It should make us want to dance for joy. Let's come back to our little mini quiz. Final question. What do these people have in common? That's Michelle Obama, Mother Teresa, and Princess Diana. All of my questions are really obvious. Yes, they're women. Something else, though, about these three women. You keep answering all my questions. I really like you. We'll have a chat at the end, but let's give somebody else a go. Maybe someone on this side over here. Dixon, can you answer? Going for the same family there. Anyone else? Yes, at the very back. They big round of applause for him. Yes, thank you. You're right. You're not wrong. Anyone else? Yes. I don't know. You said they're all Christian. I don't know. Yes, I'm going to come back to you. Well, I'll come to your brother. Can you? What about? Yeah, absolutely. They all did charity work. Yes. I think you've got absolutely right. I've got written down here, they are highly respected women. They were influential women. Great women. Okay? Something else, though, about these three women. In the time that Mark wrote this book, they would not have been allowed, even great as they are, and this will shock us, they would not have been allowed to give evidence in a court of law. All right? That's what they three women have in common. Basically, Mark tells us that the first witnesses to Jesus' resurrection were women. It's got this fantastic ring of truth. If he was making it all up, he would have wheeled out the centurion we thought about earlier on. He would have wheeled out Pilate and Joseph of Arimathea. They witnessed the death, the resurrection. Why didn't he go for three men who could have been, well, accepted in a court of law? There's a ring of truth here. This is just how it was. This is how it is. And the three women who witnessed it were credible women who spoke the truth. So the third and final thing I want to say today about Easter is this. Seeing Jesus alive. Seeing Jesus alive. You might want to look at the Bible in front of you. The angel told the women, go tell his disciples and Peter. Peter gets a special mention because I think he specially mucked up. That Jesus is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. And they did. On one occasion, the Bible tells us that 500 people gathered in the same place saw the risen Jesus at the same time. And if we'd been there at the time of writing, we could have gone and met any of those 500 who were still alive and checked it out with them. Said, yep, did you see him? Yes, we definitely did see him. Was it really him? Yes, it really was him. Mark's gospel often equates physically seeing with spiritually seeing, with understanding, with believing. Oh, I see. Just like this child here. Oh, I understand. Now I get it. Look at the picture on the screen there. And I want to say to you, anyone who's smaller than this tall, right down to really small, like this little guy here, you are never too young to see that Jesus died for your sin and rose again to be your loving Lord and Saviour. I can't remember when I became a Christian. I went to boarding school so my parents could work in areas of the world where there weren't schools and they could carry on doing that. I went to boarding school. I remember as a little boy with my torch under the bedclothes at night, reading my Bible and praying. I was just a little guy. But I knew Jesus. You are never too young to know Jesus. And today might be a special day for you to say, Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you so much for loving me. I want to give my life to you. I want to serve you with the whole of my life. You might be a bit older and a bit bigger. You might be like this lady here. Ah, I see. I want to say to you, if you're a little bit older or taller than me, if you were born earlier, listen, you are never too old to see that Jesus died for your sin and rose again to be your Saviour. Tanya and I have got a really good friend called Roy, and he's married to June. And Roy used to come to church every Sunday. And I went and had tea with him and his wife and his sister. And we had wonderful tea in nice, fine china cups and saucers with wonderful cake. And Roy said to me as I was leaving, they wanted to talk to me about various things to do with Jesus. And I got up to leave the room. His sister, I could tell, wasn't that happy with me. She was a bit uncomfortable about some of the things being said. And Roy looked me in the eye, 72 he was, and he said this, are you telling me, Tim, that after 72 years I've been wrong all my life? And I'd say, yeah, I am. But you don't have to carry on being wrong. You can start now. You can be a new baby Christian in your 70s or in your 80s. And today might be a special day for you to begin. Now, one more thing. Let's come back to a story. Members of our family since last Easter have been, that word, bereaved, lost someone that they love, or more than one person that they love. Amazingly, Jesus' resurrection means that Christians have wonderful hope. Easter and Jesus' resurrection impacts our loss and our suffering and our bereavement. Because Jesus died and rose again, he promises that death isn't the end for those who trust him too. There's eternity and there's a future. And I'm going to ask Charles Raven if he'll come to the front and just share a little bit of his own story. Because since last Easter, two people in Charles's family have died. So listen to what he has to say. And listen to what Charles says about Easter. We're very grateful to Charles for doing this. We may not feel it's so appropriate to clap him at the end like the children. But in your hearts, if we don't do it physically, do it in your hearts. Thank you, Charles, very much.
Right. Thank you, Tim. This is a wonderful day. Every Easter is a great celebration. Because it says that we are not alone and that God did indeed so love the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should have everlasting life. That's a verse from the Bible, John chapter 3:16, a very precious and powerful one. Now, I've been a minister for many years. I've been the vicar of a traditional parish church. I've led a church plant. And in the course of that ministry, I have often stood by an open grave at the end of a funeral service and said what we call the words of committal as the coffin is lowered into the grave. But 6 months ago, I was doing that, and the coffin that was going into the grave was Gillian, was a woman I'd known for 40 years and been married to for 37 years. And I said some very familiar words as the coffin was lowered, and some of you were there. Some of you heard these words. And that is in some ways a very terrible moment. It's the reality of death. And if we really love somebody, then there seems to be something outrageous about this. How can that life, how can that person that I have loved and known, how can that person who's been the mother of my three children, our three children, just no longer exist? But as the coffin is lowered into the ground, the words of that, of this traditional prayer, this declaration, say this: earth to earth, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. There is an acknowledgement of that finality, of that ending of our physical life now. But then immediately we say, in sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. So right at that moment of loss and of ending, there are words of wonderful hope. In sure and certain hope, not a kind of wish, but of sure and certain hope of the resurrection to eternal life. And I love those words. They are so powerful. And we can have that confidence today, not because of anything we have done, not out of an attempt at wish fulfillment, but because Jesus rose from the dead. And the Bible says that Jesus rising from the dead is the first fruits. It's like in the garden this year, if you planted some seeds, you might be looking and hoping they're really going to come up. And then one day you see that one has come up. Now you know because one has come up, all the others are going to as well. And the wonderful news of the resurrection is that because Jesus died, because he really was dead, and there was that sadness that Tim has been talking about, but because he rose from the dead, which nobody expected, but because of that, we also will share in that resurrection. That there will be eternal life for each one of us when we put our trust in Jesus. So we can face bereavement and loss. And in fact, my loss was a double one, because just a few weeks before I had stood by Gillian's grave, I'd also stood by a grave and said the same words over a tiny little coffin of a granddaughter who had died, who had been stillborn right at the end of my daughter's pregnancy. And these are terrible things, but I do want to say to you that I'm utterly, totally convinced of God's promise in Jesus because of what he has done. This is not philosophy. This is not abstract theology. This is real fact that is made alive to us by the Holy Spirit of God. As we turn to Jesus, as we know that forgiveness, he fills us with his Spirit, and his Spirit within us is an assurance of all the things that are to come. So we have great hope. We know that all sorts of bad and difficult things can happen in this life. But this life is just the rehearsal. It's just the preliminary for that wonderful life that God has for us to come. And as the writer C.S. Lewis said, that story that keeps on getting better and better and more wonderful with every chapter. And that's where Gillian is now with the Lord Jesus. She's met little Edith, our granddaughter. And I thank God for that great confidence and comfort. And I pray that it will be true and real for each one of you here today. Thank you.
Our musicians are going to come out. From death to life, in three dark days, he rolled the stone that sealed his grave. Let hymns of triumph tell his praise. Praise the King, he is risen. Praise the King, he's alive. Praise the King, death's defeated. Let's stand, let's sing.